Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrologer Shelley Antine speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, the first day of July, which is Canada Day, and Sunday, the 7th of July, is when it ends. And during the week, we have Independence Day in the United States on the 4th of July. So a big holiday, which could go into a big holiday weekend since the 4th of July is on Thursday. And you can imagine people will be taking Friday off or be given Friday off so they can have 4 days. I'm sure a lot of people are very happy about that. So we'll want to talk about the aspects for the holiday itself and that holiday weekend and even some travel energies before the 4th and maybe on Sunday and into Monday. We also have two planets making a shift on Tuesday, the 2nd of July. Neptune retrogrades at 6:40 a.m. on Tuesday, and Mercury enters Leo at 8:50 a.m. on Tuesday. So there's a lot to talk about, and because of that, the new moon that takes place at 6:57 p.m. on Friday, the 5th of July, has a separate podcast. And you can access that through the same blog post that I'm doing for the weekly astrology forecast. Okay, so we'll start with Monday, which has a morning with some, you know, red flags waving or a red cape if you're in a bullfight, because it is the moon in Taurus. And it is going conjunction Mars until 12:19 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So, the bull can be very stubborn and opinionated, will not budge, and it is also acquiring things it wants to hold on to. And so, it's preservation. Anyway, this can be a problematic time. So you don't want to get involved in locking bull's horns because it will be nasty and the repercussions with fixed signs just last longer. So be aware of that. But then we shift into a rather lovely time with the moon in Taurus sextile Venus in Cancer until 2:42 p.m. Now, this is what we call a mutual reception aspect because the moon is in Taurus, the sign that Venus rules. Venus is in Cancer, the sign that the moon rules. So they have increased empathy and simpatico. They are both very foodie, both are very interested in that. And so this would be a wonderful time if you made it about 1 o'clock lunch to have a very nice experience. Lunch meeting, lunch with friends. It should be very pleasant. And the moon will go on to a sextile to Saturn. Saturn has retrograded now, and it's still in Pisces, of course. And that will happen at 5:28 p.m. So it may be that somebody you've encouraged before needs more encouragement, and you're able to provide that if you're the moon and Taurus person. You know, advice, steady, grounded advice, which is also always helpful to people when they are in a state of, I don't know what's happening to my life, or, you know, they just need to feel more secure. And that would be a retrograde Saturn in Pisces, could really be like that. So now the moon goes on to that monthly conjunction to Uranus, and that's the rest of Monday. It's coming, and it gets to be exact at 4:29 a.m. on Tuesday. So something is going to be a dramatic shift. Maybe we're going to hear another, unfortunately, difficult experience with a climate or earth matters or financial matters that are occurring. At 6:40 a.m., Neptune retrogrades in Pisces. This is a very slow-moving planet. And it is at 29 degrees, the last degree of that sign. And it has decided to wait a little while before shifting out of Pisces, which is, you know, the place that it's most at home and most powerful. And it's going to retrograde into only a couple of degrees. It's going back to 27 degrees before it goes direct. And it will go direct on December 7th. And one of the interesting things that I thought I would mention here is that during late summer and into the fall, we have Uranus at the higher degrees of Taurus. We have Neptune between 28 and 27. And then we also have Pluto retrograded back into the last couple of degrees of Capricorn. So these three planets are in a good aspect to each other at this point. Uranus being trine Pluto and sextile Neptune. And that is very unusual in a sense. It doesn't always happen, you know, all the time. So there will be, you know, some ways of change and, you know, understanding, transformation, and perhaps even some creative or inspiring experiences during that time. And I looked up, I know that it's been a very long time that Pluto and Neptune have been in sextile, which is that helpful opportunity aspect. And I looked it up and I found that I just got in under the wire. 1947 was when it began, and it will end the sextile relationship in 2034. And it has been quite fascinating. I mean, Pluto's been in different signs, Neptune's been in different signs. Certainly when I was, you know, getting it was a Pluto in Leo and a Neptune in Libra, which I think was also responsible for the great surge of creativity and artistry that started coming up during that time. And the people who had it in the birth chart, who were born in 47 and on, getting very involved, especially maybe music and film, but, you know, all kinds of arts, for instance, and depending on, again, the signs that Neptune and Pluto were in. So, again, this is going to shift, and the last time, I looked up the last time that Pluto was in a conjunction to Neptune, it was in the sign of Gemini, and the next time it happens, none of us will be here. But it will also, once again, be in Gemini. And that conjunction took place at the turn of the century from 1891 to 1892. And, you know, we did, again, see the rise of the industrial complex, so many innovations, so many new ideas. People like Dr. Bach, who did Bach flower remedies, would have had this conjunction, and other Theosophical Society and those kinds of people. So interesting. I got very interested in that relationship. And this time, again, this for us, we're having the Uranus trine and sextile, this sextile of Neptune and Pluto. So some really interesting innovations and changes and shifts may be taking place during this time. We shall see. And so, again, that will be the retrograde from the July 2nd to the December 7th. And it will, again, only go back to 27 degrees. So if you're looking at it in your chart, you will know if it's coming back to haunt you or help you or whatever. And the Mercury entering Leo is going to be that first shift into the Leo cycle, solar cycle, which will be coming in later in July. And Mercury is first in, and that's the way we think. And Mercury in fire element is a little bit happier than, you know, he was in water, very sentimental in Cancer. But also Leo is fixed. And so it kind of holds Mercury down a little bit or back a little bit, or however you want to look at the fact that it's not as mobile in the sign of Leo. But it can be very dramatic, and we'll be talking about things that can be very dramatic. And we will have, again, this idea of the creative coming in, and even the idea of investment, because Leo is actually one of our financial signs, Taurus being the one that's about my money, my things, and Scorpio being our money, our things, you know, my values is Taurus, our values or the values of others is Scorpio. And in the middle between those two, we've got Leo. And Leo, the sign of the father energy, which is, you know, that's like a very politically incorrect thing to say now, but it's a concept. It's a concept of the idea of whoever it is in any relationship, being the one that wants to enhance the surroundings, build the surroundings up, or, you know, looking at Leo as the sign of the beast is the lion, it is the king of the jungle, and Leo relating to royalty and the king, you know, king of the hill. So we could call that area of life our kingdom. And so we want to expand it perhaps. So that's how Leo gets to be the sign of A, gambling, and B, investment. So these things can be on our mind and in our communications and in our thoughts as Mercury goes through Leo. Now, it goes through Leo until the planet will retrograde, but first it will go all the way through Leo and be ending its Leo trip on July 25th. And it will enter Virgo, but very soon, on the 5th of August, that's when Mercury's retrograde is coming in. So as we get to the end of July, remember that we're slowing down Mercury and we're going to be retrograding within the first week of August. It will retrograde back into Leo on the 14th of August. So it didn't get very far. I think it's about 4 degrees of Virgo it gets to. And then it retrogrades back into Leo. It goes direct on the 28th of August. That's, you know, 14 days later. And it will retrograde going direct at 21 Leo. So you can look back and see what 21 Leo looked like for you. And so we know, don't we? Unless you're new to the whole concept of astrology. We know what the Mercury retrograde means. And we'll be talking about it more as we get closer to the 25th of July. But I just wanted to give you that heads up because it's good to put things like this on a calendar because then you can see your way to getting things that you really need to look at beginning, getting them done before the slowdown of Mercury, which is usually at least a week before the retrograde. You know, you can keep going with all kinds of projects during the retrograde, but it's not the best time to start anew, right? So that is, what's happening. And Mercury will have a few aspects because it is fast moving. It will actually have more in this first direct motion. The first thing it does is it's going to oppose retrograde Pluto in Aquarius on the 3rd of July. So it takes a very quick issue. And the issue is, I believe in loyalty, Leo. I believe in maybe hierarchy or superiority, Leo. I am concerned with my children and my self-expression and my creativity, Leo. Versus Pluto, that has been making changes and is really looking at the Aquarian energies of innovation, new ideas, the group good, and goals for the future. So that's the first thing it does. And then on the 8th of July, you get this lovely energy of playful and funny Mercury in Leo sextile Jupiter in Gemini. So that should be a nice time. When we get to the 21st of this coming month of July here, we are looking at the square to Uranus and Taurus. And that's, again, where we're going to have a lock horns with the ideals and ideas and money. Leo would love to spend on high-end, jewelry, not necessarily Mercury, but wait till Venus gets in there. But, Uranus, again, will have a more conservative attitude and be looking at whatever changes are going to help them increase what they already have. So that will be a discussion that will be tricky for both people. And that will be taking place near the second Capricorn full moon also. So when it retrogrades into Leo again, it's going to not be in relationship to the planets as it was before. So we won't necessarily see the energies repeating themselves or new aspects being made. Okay, the opposition to Pluto, again, as I said, takes place while we have had a moon in Taurus sextile Neptune in Pisces on Tuesday, 11:43 a.m. This is a nice, lyrical, gentle, creative, spiritual. It's a soft and even though Neptune is retrograde now, and when planets are retrograde, we do realize that energies are internalized. So we may be reviewing, maybe we're looking at old pictures or seeing a movie we saw before, but it was pleasurable and we probably enjoy this experience. At 11:50 a.m. on Tuesday, the moon enters Gemini, which is the sign Mercury is ruling. So now we have a ruler of Gemini in Leo. And the first thing that happens is the moon sextiles Mercury in Leo until 12:16 p.m. in the afternoon. So this is really Mercury's first aspect coming to it. And so that's a lighthearted and pleasant and entertaining combination. The moon in Gemini will trine Pluto in Aquarius until 2:11 p.m. So it's like the moon is, in essence, coming ahead of Mercury's opposition to Pluto, and seeing both sides, and that's very easy for Gemini to see both sides usually. And so, while it's enjoying the energy of Mercury in Leo, it also can enjoy going back over some of the focus on the new and in the innovative inventions and ideas and group energies, that sort of thing, until 2:11 p.m. The moon is going to conjunct Jupiter after this, so we've got a long stretch of the incoming good news of the conjunction to Jupiter at 3:05 a.m. on Wednesday. So there's a lot of upbeat. We may be feeling some reason for, we know we have a celebration of 3 or 4 days off from work in the U.S., but there may be some other good news or some consciousness expansion that's going on. In the evening before that, Venus in Cancer has trined the retrograde Saturn in Pisces at 9:41 p.m., and so there's a little bit, again, more reassurance of nurturing and safety that has been happening. So there could be an early celebration on the evening of the 2nd and into the morning of the 3rd. Maybe people were traveling even early. Maybe people took the whole week off. Why not? Nice if you can do so. However, on the 3rd, Moon in Gemini, you know, Mercury's going to have the opposition early, so by the time you get up in Eastern time zone, it won't be happening. But the Moon in Gemini is going to spend the whole day going into a square to Saturn in Pisces, exact at 9:58 p.m. Now, if you're going to be traveling on Wednesday, running into the difficulties of obstruction and delay shouldn't take place until you get closer to the aspect coming in a few hours before that. So best get on the road early if you're on roads or planes or whatever you're doing, or if you need to go and get some last minute items, don't wait till dinner time or later in the evening where you might not be able to find what you were looking for. Or there's going to be weather issues that will be causing difficulties, or, you know, just plain old skeptics and people who are frightened. And Moon in Gemini, you know, wants to be a more lighthearted, let's say, than that. So if you've just arrived at a family gathering, things may not be as upbeat as you would have liked them to be. And I'm sorry to say that Moon in Gemini is going square Neptune in Pisces on the 4th of July until 4:44 p.m. Well, those who work the fireworks will be glad to hear that it's over in the Eastern time zone. The issues of water and rain and such aren't plaguing the late night. And so that is definitely potential, though, if you're looking to do your meals and your barbecues and things like that during the day, you could have problems. But also, it could be just that there are maybe somebody is bringing a virus with them, or maybe there is something that's gone bad or off. You should be paying attention to that, or, you know, anything that could be a problem for the health. Any kind of a toxic experience. So that's a Moon square Neptune for you. And also people traveling to a place they haven't been before and somehow getting lost or whatever. Directions were wrong to begin with or whatever. So it isn't long after this at 4:51 p.m. the moon enters Cancer. So that's the sign of food, and you could maybe delay your meal, but don't delay it with the food out getting bad for the moon Neptune square. And that is going towards its first aspect on Friday at 6:57 p.m., which is the new moon. And so that's another thing about the holiday. You know, we know that at the time of the greatest light, as we approach and we're at the full moon and a day or so after, people have much more energy and they're more enthused about doing things. At the new moon, you can feel tired. You can want more sleep. You may not be quite as, you know, interested in activities, and that's not your optimum lunar phase for a celebration. But at any rate, that's what you've got, and you should be feeling that on the 4th and maybe even the 3rd and coming exact into the 5th. And while that's happening, the Mars in Taurus is sextil retrograde Saturn in Pisces until 3:02 p.m. on Friday Eastern. So that's helpful. People may be more willing to get involved in, you know, help out and do stuff and, you know, help somebody else who needs help and stuff like that. When we get to the new moon, we're beginning to set our intentions for the future. And they would be around the sign of Cancer. Home, family, food, clothing, shelter, emotional and other security issues. Those are the main issues of Cancer. So, you know, that's what you might want to be looking at. And I will tell you that if you allow asteroids and centaurs into your chart, you will find, as I did, that the new moon has the Star of David, or two triangles, one pointing up, one pointing down. And it's a tremendously harmonious flow for the most part. There's one opposition in it. And it's going to be in the water signs involving this new moon. And it's going to, the other one is in the earth signs involving Mars. So that's something that we can be looking at. Listen to the podcast for all of my thoughts about that and what the energies and principles are that are involved. But we also have the Jupiter coming into the sextil to Mercury, so there is some upbeat energy already on the way. So we'll see how it goes. Again, a new moon is just what it is, and as it moves off the new stage and moves into a new cycle, we have the moon in Cancer trine, Saturn in Pisces. Oh yes, that's part of the water trine. And we have that coming in at 4:10 a.m. on the 6th. And again, there's nurturing for people who need it as part of the energy here. And some of the things about Saturn that could happen in Pisces, and by the way, I have a whole article on that in my new Substack page. I haven't moved on into like all the different whistles and bells that I can do with it, but I did post the Saturn retrogrades article. And so there's a lot of information about what this is for people and for you. You may be interested in reading that because Saturn can also help us ground the Pisces energies. That's one of the things it can do. So a lot of information there. And all you have to do is look for Shelley Writes, which is my name, which you probably know how to spell because you're on my website or you're looking at my blog post to get this podcast. And the Writes is like what you do when you're writing an article. So it's writes.substack.com. And the name of my page is Moments in the Flow, because I am posting about lots of different subjects. And if you go there and you haven't seen it yet, the post before this one was done on World Fairies Day. And it has an interesting story about the time I actually saw one, how that came about, and how it inspired my fairy tale novella called The Greatest Enchantment, which which you can find on Amazon. So at any rate, there we are with the trine to Saturn in Pisces on the 6th in the morning, early wee hours, 4:10 a.m. Also still in the very early morning, Moon in Cancer, sextile Mars in Taurus, 4:56 a.m., so maybe in dreams this stuff is happening. But when we get up and we have a Moon in Cancer conjunct Venus in Cancer at 12:27 p.m., this is another wonderful time for food and for a feeling of loving family or loving friends that are family to you. So Saturday brings that lovely, lovely aspect. Also, it brings the helpful opportunity of a Moon in Cancer, sextile Uranus in Taurus at 4:24 p.m., so we may find out some interesting things about finance, or we may find an electronic device to use in the kitchen and get a good deal on it. And then the next and last aspect for the Moon in Cancer is a trine to Neptune, now retrograde in Pisces, 11:47 p.m., Saturday evening. Maybe we're reminiscing. It's very possible. Cancer does that, very sentimental sign. So, you know, we may be looking back. And, you know, again, old pictures or old memories about people who are no longer with us may be there for us at that time. Moon will enter Leo very shortly after 11:56 p.m. And if you're up in the western part of the United States or Canada or South America, the moon in Leo will be going opposite retrograde Pluto in Aquarius, exact at 2:16 a.m. for Eastern time zone. And that is loyalty versus freedom, in a sense. We could add it up, all the little pieces, and get to that. So that could be a big drama over something. And it's better not to engage it. Fixed, again, fixed energies can be potent, and they do have repercussions that last longer than, say, the mutable signs, which are often on to something new. Moon in Leo, though, for the daytime, Sunday the 7th, brings a conjunction to Mercury at 4:23 p.m. Now, this is when our feelings and thoughts merge, in a sense. So what we think we are going to have lots of feelings about. And we know what that looks like sometimes and how dramatic that can be in Leo. So preach to the choir, or listen to the choir if you want to have a better time with this Moon-Mercury conjunction. And just, you know, turn on some entertainment, because Leo loves entertainment. It's also a sign of sports. So if you can get out there and do some sports like tennis or baseball, basketball, or things that maybe even rowing a boat on a lake, so because you're using your Mercury arms and hands, actually are helpful in this conjunction. If you decided to hit the road, that's okay. And Moon is going to sextile Jupiter in Gemini until 6:19 p.m. But I would be on my way before that aspect is complete. Because after this, and you may not feel this right away, so you'll still be on the road without feeling it, or in the air without feeling it, Moon in Leo will square Mars in Taurus. And that is your Monday aspect for Monday the 8th of July. Because that is coming in all day until 5:18 p.m. You could get a little bit of a head start if you can get on the road or in the air before 10:26 a.m., 7:04 a.m. You have Venus in Cancer, sextile Uranus in Taurus, and then followed by Mercury in Leo, sextile Jupiter in Gemini. But the closer you get to that Moon-Mars square, that's followed by a Moon-Uranus square, the least likely you are to have a happy time in your travels. And even in your day, it's going to be a day to be careful and not engage in a fight that cannot be won. Okay? So that's your forecast for the week. I am looking ahead at the next week to see what we'll be talking about other than the regular daily aspects. And it is the Venus enters Leo week. And we will also enter the second quarter phase. We'll be mostly in first quarter lunar phase, and we'll get into the second quarter phase on Saturday. And you know that means that a week later, it's going to be a full moon, right? Right. Okay. Wishing you the best holiday you can possibly have. And set your intentions for your new moon. And I'll say goodbye for now.